Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 28, episode 4 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For April 26th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's like the old saying goes, step on a jack, break your mama's jack. That one is courtesy of Walter Chestnut Jr., and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Thank you so much. It is me, Kush Limbaugh, here to free y'all.
Because you know what, everything? When I'm Kush Limbaugh, this is how I like to get down on the Daily Zeitgeist. So thank you so much to Christy Yamaguchi Main, again, for a thrill-ass AKA.
If only Limbaugh was more into Kush, he would not have gotten hooked on those pain pills.
Yeah.
Would not have been driving around a pickup truck with the bed entirely full of pain pills.
He has a dope microphone, though.
Yeah.
We should talk about that later. I would love the golden microphone.
Is that true?
Oh, a dope microphone? Fucking like if El Chapo had a fucking...
Oh, right.
Yeah, a podcast.
Just cool looking.
Just like all gold and shit. Gaudy as shit.
You guys don't subscribe to the El Chapo podcast?
Not Chapo Chop House.
No,
good podcast.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would love to hear
El Chapo's
Chapo.
Not in the house.
Yeah.
We are thrilled to be joined by the host of the amazing podcast, Yo, Is This Racist, Mr. Andrew T.
Guys, thank you for having me back. Can I just admit right off the top, even though long-time listener and have been on the show before, I am still amazed by the AKAs and kind of confused every time.
Yeah.
I remember I fucked one up because I forgot that I was supposed to do it one time when I was on.
Yeah.
And Miles had to do it.
Andrule, mommy, T-I-T-I, uh-oh.
I was confused because I'm an idiot.
No, it's because you're not overly caffeinated as I am right now off this cold brew.
Andrew.
I love this.
It's so good to have you again. What is something from your search history that is revealing about where you are as a person right now?
I feel this is going to lose me points. The last thing I searched for was, are the Dodgers playing tonight? Because I was having so much trouble parking in Echo Park. I just need to know if there's an explanation that I still couldn't do anything about it. But it took me 45 minutes to park out of something. I was already 10 minutes late. And
where
also,
are you going?
Just button mash this
arcade
thing.
Of course, because that's right on Sunset.
Yeah,
If there is,
it was. Maybe the bar that has the closest physical proximity to Dodger Stadium. No, maybe shortstop, but
it's on that strip.
Literally the second closest bar to Dodger Stadium, and for some reason I was going.
Did it actually take you 45 minutes to park?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh shit!
It was real stupid of me.
And is button mash? I've been in there. I hear the food. Is the food good?
You're Asian enough that the food...
Oh, it'll be like Taco Bell to me.
It's not good.
Okay.
It's offensively expensive, but it's fine.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Where I'm like, it's okay, it's not bad, but it is definitely white people charging $4 for much, too much for everything.
Goes to Singapore once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned so much cool stuff there.
Yeah, it really is.
Have you read Sambal?
You know they have a cart with a Michelin star.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. It's like
a
only
cart?
Yeah, it's $5.
Wow.
Yeah. The first one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
you know what? I probably learned that from some white people. So.
Oh, yeah. It's like every travel show goes to that
like
dude.
Yeah, like a food blogger of some kind or so. Yeah. Mm. Who knows? Anyway, I'm not a baseball fan. I'm a baseball game fan because I'm a 2 hot dogs, 3 beers in a sitting outside fan.
Yeah.
But yeah. I only like MMA, you guys.
Wow.
That's the only sport
bro.
You care for?
Yeah. Just MMA. Yeah, I guess soccer.
What do you think of Conor McGregor wilding out on that bus?
Oh, that was depressing, I think.
I just saw the clip and I was like, man, whatever. I don't even really watch this shit anymore.
I know.
But that was cool to see him throw a fucking dolly through a window.
Well, what I understood was he didn't expect it to break the window.
That's not an excuse.
Yeah, that is.
I know, but I think he was just like, look, this is going to be theatrical. It's going to bounce off, and then I can do a pro. It is a little bit like in pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is a work. Mm-hmm. Like, it's theatrical and fake, but I think it's called a shoot when things kind of become real. And there's a couple famous examples, famous not to me because I don't have them on my head. They're mostly in Japan, I think, where two dudes clearly like just roided out assholes, kind of tough guys. Like it turned into a real fight.
Right. Like one actually lands a slap and then they start to be a fake.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. You want to turn
like,
up?
Oh, so we're doing this now. And then I'll hit you back. And then it just turned into a real fight.
Oh, hey, hit me with links on Twitter to those videos because that just reminds me of like some sibling type shit where you're like, you play fight and then start really ramping it
up. Yeah. I could probably Google works that turned into a shoot, but yeah.
Works that turned into a shoot.
Yeah, maybe add wrestling to that. But yeah.
It's a real face, not a heel.
Yeah.
I know all the wrestling lingo.
Two heels. No, but that's my favorite shit when it was just like, yeah, let's do this. But I think that's what happened to Conor McGregor, which is like he was like, oh, I'm doing a pro wrestling thing.
Right.
And then shit got very
and
real.
And he's like, oh, I cut the shit up out of that dude from the glass.
Yeah.
It was weird that he was followed around like there were cameras there. So it wasn't like a normal assault where you try to make sure there aren't cameras around.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I feel like it's whoever, really the person to blame is whoever installed that glass.
Right.
That's that person's fault. That's the real villain here.
Yeah. No, but he like, what was that, like four fights got called off? So like eight people trained, cut weight.
Right.
Like,
can you imagine gotta be really frustrating.
Spitting into a cup and then not being able to fight because you got a cut on your forehead from
a
bus fight?
Yeah. That sucks. Andrew, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Can I do my overrated first because they're related?
Yes, please do.
Podcasts.
Wait, what?
Podcasts are mad overrated.
Damn, you're right, man. Turn this off right now if you're listening because you're a damn fool.
You're a sucker. You know what's underrated is going into an old hard drive and finding a bunch of mixtapes that you put on there. So I've been listening to like an old Bun B mixtape and an old Zero mixtape instead of podcasts this week.
Is the Bun B mixtape, is it Chopped and Screwed? Is
there a Chopped and Screwed version? There are, it's not the Chopped and Screwed version, but there are some. It's like the one he put out, that I think it became Trill, but it is.
And for those who don't know, a Chopped and Screwed means when they slow the shit down super slow so it sounds like you fucked up on lean. That was DJ Screw who innovated.
For anyone who wasn't in lucky enough to be in the studio, Miles did just pantomime nodding off.
Yeah. So
I listened to too much Chopped and Screwed music as a early 20 something person.
Really? Where'd you grow up?
Oh, I mean, I was in New York at the time.
And you were just,
I don't know.
All those Screwed mixtapes?
Yeah. Wow. And I was not drinking codeine in any form. I would just walk around New York. I think I was real frustrated with my job, but I would just walk around New York listening to just like really slow, sickly, nauseating rap.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you doing at the time?
I worked at Comedy Central. I was like a digital media producer. So I would just like walk around.
Just getting your mind right.
Yeah. No, it would be it's my soundtrack to Hate Walking Through Times Square. I have a real weird... Like, yeah, I don't know why I did that.
You should put a Spotify playlist together called Hate Walking Through Times Square that people can jump on.
Did you ever listen to DJ Lil B, his mixtapes?
No, I don't think so.
Lil B, the bass guy?
Lil B.
Oh, Lil B.
Yeah.
No.
I can't even like find him on Google, but he had like these three mixtapes. They were like sort of girl talky, but better. But I
like
never...
mashups and stuff?
Yeah, they were like mashups, but
yeah,
like I liked them a lot better than... The girl talk.
The girl talk. Okay.
Yeah, but they were circulating for like a couple months, and me and my wife loved him, and then he just kind of dropped off, and I still can't like find him.
He probably had a family or something.
I'm gonna say a thing that is ridiculous, I'm sure, but it feels like we're the last people that have music that you can't find anymore.
Right.
From our childhood, straight up, you can't find.
Right.
And a lot of it you can find, and a lot of stuff that I thought in the past, like I own this record or whatever, no one, I'm cool. And some of that stuff is on the internet now.
Right.
But there was some other stuff where I'm like, huh.
Yeah, there are like a ton of like DJ Clue mixtapes and things that I have like on old hard drives that, especially mixtape world.
Yeah.
I mean, there are websites that do like sort of archive it, but that's like one thing that I do have on hard drive where I'm like, yo, I have like every DJ Clue mixtape.
Whereas now, from like even if it's super obscure, it is at least still on SoundCloud.
Right.
Like it's still there if you Google it.
Right, right.
Right, right.
But like, it might not be good. It's probably bad. All the SoundCloud shit is bad.
Oh, there's some good stuff. But yeah.
I'm kidding. Am I kidding? I don't know.
Andrew, what is a myth? What is something that most people think it's true that you know to be false.
Oh, man. I feel like this one is maybe too easy, but the Asian people are industrious thing or hardworking. I feel like, obviously, you know, people have started pushing back on that myth, but I just want to truly highlight how incredibly lazy I am. I just think it's important.
And you represent all Asian people.
No, well, I don't think I'm an outlier. I think that's the thing. Okay, here's a myth. The actual myth was that I more or less bought into that stuff until I moved. Even when I lived in New York, I kind of didn't think about that stuff. But when I moved to LA, where you actually meet a lot of different types of Asian Americans,
right?
Where I was like, oh, yeah. I love me some, like, Asian shithead teens. Like,
right.
I love bad Asian teens because I'm like, I did not get to see that when I was growing up. And
right.
I needed that.
Right.
I need it still. Right. Asian teens, hit me up.
Interesting. Yeah, hit up Asian teens, hit Andrew T up. Also
yeah.
The police.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of news to get through today, guys.
Fuck.
We are trying to take a sample of the global and national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now. Today, at the moment we record it, and at this moment, news has just broken within the past hour that Bill Cosby has been found guilty. We knew he was guilty, but he has been actually found guilty by a jury of his peers.
Boom.
So, yeah, we don't know if he's going to prison yet. He apparently left the courthouse not in handcuffs. Also left the courthouse not saying, hey, 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 like yeah. he did last time, which was real cool look.
That may have affected how yeah. people thought saw him.
But, yeah, so we're going to see the judges. Has still yet to sentence him. I don't think it's a great sign that Cosby stood up. So the prosecutor was saying that they wanted to, remove the possibility of bail because Cosby had a personal private plane that he had access to. And Cosby, at that moment, stood up in court and said, he does not have a private plane, you asshole. And the judge was just like, yeah, I don't think he has a private plane. So the judge is like apparently just like
wow.
okay with letting Cosby just be Cosby.
Yeah.
Just letting Cosby riff, you know?
I mean, so yeah, this is like the first person who's actually had a trial from like a
yeah,
lot
this
of this
the first Me Too
celebrity shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
The man who had the famous quote, hey, don't put me on Me Too.
Yeah, what the fuck?
he has been put on Me Too.
Now you're learning how it works, Bill Cosby.
For all time.
I'm curious to see what how many other people are actually going to be facing like actual legal consequences for this kind of shit.
Yeah.
It feels like very few.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, does Harvey Weinstein have something bubbling up? Aren't people trying to take him to court?
I think New York
court?
Was.
Yeah, New York was thinking about it.
Right.
DA in New York was like, oh man, we really fucked up and now people know about it.
Right, yeah. right, yeah.
We got caught doing favors for rich people kind of, as
exactly.
we always do.
We don't have to do what we call a judicial make good.
Yeah. Right? Gotta make up that justice, all that justice.
Jesus. Well, good. Good first step, man. You gotta fucking start putting people, they gotta start facing actual consequences for their actions.
Also, I thought he didn't swear, Cosby. He called that guy an asshole.
Oh, what is that?
He's supposed to be the clean guy.
Yeah, this comedy
that's
history
the biggest
getting
shock
made.
For me. Right. You know, I mean, I didn't know. This whole thing caught me off surprise. Right. But he said asshole? Wow.
Boy, howdy. All right, we want to do one more check-in with Mr. West.
No!
Mr. Kanye, because after we spoke yesterday, we might have talked about him specifically shouting out Trump and saying, I love Trump and MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. And then Trump retweeted him and was like, this is very cool, Kanye. And Kanye retweeted that retweet and was like, yes. And just mutual admiration society going on. And then fucking Chance, like as if it wasn't bad enough already, Chance the Rapper got in and was like, hey, Kanye's just being Kanye, essentially. He's the same Kanye he's always been. And then, so that's fine. Like, he's just kind of being like, hey, leave him alone. He's my friend. But then he was like, black people don't have to be Democrats.
No. Ooh. And that is not the issue, Chance the Rapper. Okay. People are not upset because of partisanship. It's that people are upset with what this president represents. And for someone with as much influence in the community, for people of color, just in general, people looked up to Kanye West.
Yeah.
To have him then co-sign that he can't connect what he is actually aligning himself with is what's the most upsetting to me. And I don't really want to talk about him anymore because fuck this guy. I don't care. Like, at fucking best, he's going through some kind of really terrible mental thing, mm-hmm. you know? And that could explain one reason. At worst, he's just trolling people. Like, some people say, nah, man, he's just trying to get the album, the hype up for the album, or he's doing this
just
consciously. That's actually worse to me.
Yeah.
Because that actually suggests that you are so divorced from the reality of oppression in this country that you think you can put a MAGA hat on and not understand that people of color, like, I have a visceral reaction to seeing people wear a MAGA hat. Not that I'm immediately like, oh, what the fuck is going on? But to me, it symbolizes a very dangerous mindset. And when you have like reports coming out that a lot of the hate crimes that have happened in the last year, people have been evoking Trump's name. That's just the kind of shit that, I don't know. It's just, it's really, it's frightening to see. And I don't know if that's because younger people are not fully in tune with what is at stake exactly. So when people go, well, just let him have his opinion. This isn't about his opinion. That's fine. You can have an opinion about Donald Trump, but you also need to understand the nuances of saying like, oh yeah, man, MAGA all day or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to explain that a little bit further, unless you really are just saying, yeah, like whatever, it's not a problem. Like racism doesn't exist to me or whatever. And that's the world he's operating in. I'd rather just know that that's what he's like. He's just lives in that reality rather than trying to like straddle two worlds and be like, I don't agree with his politics, but also he's my brother, Dragon Energy.
Right. Yeah, that's been the main pitch, is like confidence, I guess. Like, is that's the only thing they
arrogance.
Kanye claims that they have in common, and that's
right. That they're seeing
all.
Through the Matrix, them and the creator of Dilbert. They're like the three Neos in our Matrix world, and we're all just, you know, robots, and they're the only ones who actually see through the Matrix.
Scott Adams is one of those dudes who will come like after almost anyone too.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about him on the show before?
Yeah, we've talked about him.
Yeah. Does he ever come after you? No.
No.
We're not.
God,
that
please come after us, Scott Adams.
No, that's what
please.
I'm saying. He'll go after not that. Okay,
you
I'm
are.
About to say, he'll go
you're
after,
like,
after
fucking anyone.
You're
even
going
you assholes.
You're
no,
be,
just
you're going to be seen as shitty Goebbels in the future in history books. So please come after us. And, like, you're like the really really shitty version of that.
Well,
at least Goebbels was like okay at his job. You fucking suck.
I think
at everything.
The problem
come
with like
me.
Having an administration of like
right, Jack?
Of like reality show Nazis in charge.
Right.
It's like oops, all Goebbels. At a certain point, like just everyone is like a propagandist.
That's exactly it.
No
one has
any substance at all.
Yeah.
Move on. I don't want to talk about this.
Somebody was talking about how they should have seen it coming because Trump and Kanye both have this same art form that is like the Kanye rant and what we call Trump jazz, which is them just like standing in front of a crowd and just like free associating shit about like just saying whatever the crowd wants to hear. But it's almost like this weird like thing where they become symbiotic with the crowd. And it made me think of this article I read about pedophiles, actually, in the aftermath of the Sandusky scandal, and how like everything about child predators, their lives, their instincts, their careers, their hobbies, like everything they do is developed almost exclusively to just put them in a position to prey on children. And like if you're an addict, you know that you can find the drug dealer in the room, you know, like you just have this like innate sense because
that's your oxygen.
Yeah, that's your oxygen. Your body like needs that.
Or like you put yourself in a position to be lucky a lot. Like
Tiny probes,
almost instinctively, and then you just get it.
And I think that's the same shit with Trump and Kanye. They have, like, their whole being is just built around, like, getting, just sucking in as much attention and adulation and drama as they possibly can to fill just this giant vortex of a fucking sucking wound where their soul should be. And we just can't, like, I think the one thing Chance said that was right is that this is just Kanye being Kanye. This is the same Kanye who, you know, jumped up on that stage and took the fucking mic out of Taylor Swift's hand and like said to give the award to Beyonce. Just because he was right that one time doesn't mean that like it wasn't coming from the same place. It's just that like now this side of him, like this sort of need for attention has overtaken everything else. It's almost like, you know, the historical hypothetical is no longer he's the Black Beetle. It's more like, what if Hitler was a good artist instead of like the world's shittiest watercolor painter?
If it's like Trump, right, those people don't even have opinions on politics either way.
No.
You know, like, and they'll just be like, yeah, whatever, I'll say just for the sake of positive validation or outrage or whatever. Like, they just sort of talk in those terms. Yesterday, I was fucking, I could not believe what I was seeing. Right. And I was trying to wrap my head around what, how someone who was so openly talking about the imbalance of power and justice in this country for people of color or something could suddenly just not understand what going on this, like, look at my MAGA hat, like what that signals to people. And now I'm just like, you know what? Just flame yourself out and just go talk whatever you need to. I don't know. I'm exhausted by it, and I don't know what to say anymore. Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question? It's like taking Chance's statement at face value, which is like, this is Kanye's always been Kanye. This is him. Does that, and obviously Twitter in the last 2 days or day and a half has been an endless, like, separate the artist from the art. Separate the artist from the art.
Right.
With more desperation than I've ever seen before.
Right.
But I kind of am thinking, like, this does change the art for me a little bit. I don't know.
I'm sorry, that what?
This kind of stuff. And when you kind of, like, merge the idea that this has always been Kanye, but, like, initially he could get attention by, you know, saying the right thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way... It's just, like, that double-edged sword of that charisma and the artistry...
Right.
Like, when you see it bite the other way, then part of me is like, oh, well, then what the fuck was the other stuff?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I sort of agree that I don't think he's like, I mean, obviously he's changed because his situation has changed and, like, his peers have clearly changed. But I don't know. Like, part of me is like, okay, so what was all, like, what was the past? Was it?
Yeah, you're like, what was he talking then? Was that just, yeah.
Yeah, was that just similarly, oh, I can get attention this way? And you're like, oh, that sucks.
I don't know. You know, and I think it's one of those things too, is that, I don't know if I said this on the show, but that we sort of have this base assumption that people who become celebrities are, like, meaning what they say, or that they're fully lucid, or, like, that they don't have any kind of personality deficiencies that would bring you to a moment like this. Because it's very possible that this was Kanye's mindset all the time, that he really didn't care about really anything, like, like about what he was rapping. And it was just a means to an end of, like, oh, this is popular, I'll do this. Yeah, sure. It's like, at this point, I've spent too much energy trying to, like, figure this out, that I just need to move to the point to accept, like, okay, you're in the sunken place, figure yourself out, talk later.
Listen, bye. Just between Morrissey fans, Shania Twain fans, and Kanye fans.
It's been a bad week.
Everyone's learned something about the people they like.
And then Nas, too. We find out Nas, there was a report. Khalees was saying that he was abusing her, too.
Jesus.
Like, God, fuck is going on?
Yeah, it almost... Like,
not
going
that, like,
back
Nas
to the,
was a fucking the idyllic husband or whatever, but still, I'm just like,
I still
so
ride for 18-year-old Nas, and that's the only Nas I've ever.
That's what everyone's
going to
be saying.
For.
Just the first albums of these artists.
It's almost weird that Hitler was such a bad artist, because, like, these people know that, like, they need to fill that hole with fame, and so they just, like, Kanye talks about how he, like, spent a whole summer, like, while everybody was out, like, being normal humans, he was just, like, holed up in a basement somewhere making beats because he, like, knew that he had this need. He was, like, an incomplete human. And so, they do inform each other, unfortunately.
When you said he's like Hitler but was good at music, are you saying he is like Adolf Hitler, or are you just saying...
Just that, like, they're both pathological narcissists, like, on the, like, scale of... Like, Bill Burr has a bit about how he heard Kanye speak and, like, the hairs on the back of his neck stood up. And he didn't know who was speaking. He was just like, oh, that sounds like Hitler, Mussolini, like that sort of shit. Like the way he's talking just about himself and about the world, his view on the world. And I think all of these people have, like, a megalomania and a narcissism that is just beyond, it's like next level shit.
Right.
And that's like, you need to fill the hole inside of you with all of the world.
Right.
Just,
and in some way, maybe his ego is actually what's truly powering his like creative ability too.
Yeah,
it's not even that. It's like that. He's like, no, I have to be creative to achieve the attention.
Well, and also people respond to that. Like it's just like a confidence reflects that. I just think we're seeing a great example of systemic racism here because obviously if Kanye were white, he would be a dictator.
Right.
All I can do is have a some sneakers and a bummy fashion show.
Yeah. So even at the top, don't think systemic racism doesn't hit at the top of sociopaths.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so it's been an eventful morning. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, called into his favorite talkie box program, Fox and Friends, and just like self-owned for about 29 minutes straight. It was
true jazz solo.
Yes, true Trump jazz solo. That might be a thing with him and Kanye. Like they make each other jealous. Like they're like, oh, this dude's got the spotlight for like the past 24 hours. Nah, fuck that. I'm gonna jump on there.
They're like trading fourths.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so Trump came on for a dope Trump jazz solo, and what did he do?
First of all, this was like the kind of rant that reminded me of like golden era hip hop beef. Where a rapper would call the radio station and be like, nah, let me tell you about Ja Rule real quick.
Right.
This motherfucker, when I see him, blah, blah, blah. That was the same energy that Donald Trump was calling into Fox and Friends, and he had fucking heat for everybody. It was Comey, Mueller, fucking just air, anything. The best thing was seeing how uncomfortable the Fox and Friends hosts were.
I mean, they got uncomfortable.
Yeah, because, you know, he came after everybody. He came after Mueller. He came after the DOJ, the FBI, and then was like, wait, I'm the friend of the FBI. It was just pure jazz. So one of the first places he really incriminated himself, or self-owned, as we say, put himself in maybe a little spot of legal trouble, is when he's talking about Michael Cohen. So prior to this, the narrative was that President Donald Trump had nothing to do with the payment to Stormy Daniels to keep their affair private. Everyone has said that Michael Cohen did that. Michael Cohen even said, I did that unbeknownst to Trump. I was doing that because I'm the homie. Yes, I put another mortgage out on my home so I could pay this because that's how good of a friend I am, blah, blah, blah. And even on Air Force One, journalists asked Mr. Trump, hey, what's going on with this payment? He said, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. You have to talk to Michael Cohen. So then on Fox and Friends, he kind of basically completely contradicts that and sort of admits that he did, in fact, know about it, which is crazy. But prior to that, this clip is going to start with him ranting about the DOJ. And surprisingly, I think the Fox and Friends host knew that or maybe they just had enough of this shit. They kind of pushed back in an interesting way that I would not expect from Fox and Friends.
If we had a Justice Department that was doing their job instead of spending...
It's your Justice Department, Mr. President. Mr. President, you're the Republican in charge. You've got a Republican running it.
What I answer this all the time. Because of the fact that they have this witch hunt going on with people in the Justice Department that shouldn't be there, they have a witch hunt against the President of the United States going on, I've taken the position, and I don't have to take this position, and maybe I'll change, that I will not be involved with the Justice Department. I will wait till this is over. Mm. It's a total, it's all lies, and it's a horrible thing that's going on, horrible thing. And so I'm very disappointed in my Justice Department. But because of the fact that it's going on, and I think you'll understand this, I have decided that I won't be involved. I may change my mind at some point because what's going on is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. And by the way, they walk into the DNC and they won't give them the server. They say, we're not giving you the server. Oh, okay, we'll leave. That's not the FBI. That's a fix. Okay?
Let's talk about Michael Cohen. Yesterday,
crazy asshole. What about Michael Cohen?
The fifth. What's your reaction to that, being that you work with him for a couple of decades as your attorney?
He's a good person.
What's at stake for you, Mr. President?
Hey, look, let me just tell you that Michael is really a businessman, a fairly big business, as I understand it. I don't know his business. And they're looking at something having to do with his business. I have nothing to do with his business. I can tell you, he's a good guy.
But isn't his business your attorney, Mr. President?
Well, I have many, many—just so you understand, I have many attorneys. I have attorneys— sadly, I have so many attorneys you wouldn't even believe it.
How much of your legal work is it? Michael Cohen.
He said, how much legal work?
Well, as a percentage of my overall legal work, a tiny, tiny little fraction. But Michael would represent me and represent me on some things. He represents me, like with this crazy Stormy Daniels deal. He represented me, and you know, from what I see, he did absolutely nothing wrong. There were no campaign funds going
then
into
why
this.
Why is he pleading
which would
the
have
fifth?
Been a problem? Because he's got other things. He's got businesses, and from what I understand, they're looking at his businesses. And I hope he's in great shape. But I'm not involved, and I'm not involved. And I've been told I'm not involved.
Okay, right.
Frankly, it came out of the newspaper.
Mr. President.
I've been told I'm not involved.
Wow. He's just, they're, you can even tell they're like, oh, fuck, we're going to have to be the guardrails now for
yeah.
this thing.
It's like
they're
having,
like, oh, we're your lawyers now.
Right. Yeah,
it's like having when, like, a sports talk radio show takes a caller, and they're like, oh, shit. They immediately realize the caller's crazy, and they're just, like, trying to, like, they're like, wait, what?
Right.
Yeah, okay, so mm-hmm. we.
What about this other thing to get you to stop blaming?
But as we were talking, like, just getting yeah. cut off
with
over
anyone
and over
else,
again.
They would have cut his mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just happens to be that that caller is the president, so I mean, you can't really cut him off.
It's wild because he just started off being like, I don't know her about right. Michael Cohen. And then suddenly he's like, well, yeah, he represented me in that deal. Wait
obviously.
A second, my man.
Right.
That's complete. So that's a huge complication. And then later on, he, as his solo was moving along, he then put his crosshairs on James Comey. Because, you know, he was saying that James Comey lied or whatever about him, I guess, in the memos that Comey lied about Trump saying that he didn't spend the night in Moscow on the night of the P-tape. And this is another just interesting moment from the president, too.
I went to Russia for a day or so, a day or two, because I own the Miss Universe pageant. So I went there to watch it because it was near Moscow. So I go to Russia. Now, I didn't go there. Everybody knows. The logs are there. The planes are there. Oh. He said, I didn't stay there at night. Of course I stayed there. I stayed there a very short period of time, but of course I stayed. Well, his memo said I left immediately. But I never said that. I never said I left immediately.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's another weird thing because I think most people believe James Comey.
Right.
Polling even shows that over the president. And yeah, what's interesting too is like there's so much evidence that points to the fact that he was there. Like Kurt Schiller, his bodyguard, was like, yeah, we stayed the night there. And then the flight logs are like, yeah, they didn't leave till the next day.
Right.
And so I guess maybe he saw like, oh shit, okay, this is not vague enough for me to lie. He's like, yeah, of course I was there.
Right.
Now James Comey's lying that I was in there. Come
that
on.
That I had said I was.
Right.
Yeah. It gets very weird. And what's crazy is like even the Fox and Friends people were just didn't know even know how to like. Do we question him like real journalists? I
yeah.
mean, that journal. I don't know. Whatever. Wait, whoa, weird.
real political style entertainers,
like real Muppets, or you know, what do we do? And they were in a weird spot.
They have the president live on the phone
right.
on their live TV show, where the president is the most important person to anybody watching, and he's so incoherent and so just clearly out of his fucking mind that they basically like have to like cut him off.
Yeah.
Like at the end, I think we have the end of the conversation.
How would you grade yourself now?
I would give myself an A+. Nobody has done what
right.
I've been able to do. And I did it despite the fact that I have a phony cloud over my head that doesn't exist.
But does it make you want to talk to him and put an end to it? Does it make you want to talk to him? Because that's what Rudy Giuliani
is. The problem is that it's such, if you take a look, they're so conflicted. The people that are doing the investigation, you have 13 people that are Democrats. And by the way, you take a poll at the FBI. I love the FBI. The FBI loves me. But the top people yeah. in the FBI, headed by Comey, were crooked. And you look at the corruption at the top of the FBI, it's
yeah,
a disgrace. And our Justice Department,
tangent.
Which I try and stay away from, but at some point I won't. Our
okay.
Justice Department
okay.
should be looking at that kind of stuff, not the nonsense of collusion with
right.
Russia. There is no collusion with me
right.
and Russia, and everyone knows it.
Everyone, we could talk to you all day, but it looks like you have
good.
A million things to do.
Oh, my God.
I hope you could join us again,
thank
Mr. President.
Thank you so much for being
and
with us.
And good luck with your book. It's going to be a
you.
Winner.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to Melania.
Thank you very much.
Right, we'll see you next Thursday, Mr. President.
That's
okay. All right.
Lines
okay.
open. Call in again sometime.
Okay.
They're like, they keep trying to cut. They're like,
okay.
Okay.
Just fucking hang
so
up, man.
Good. You must be so busy. It's such an incredible.
Well, he's like, we could talk to you all day. And he's like, I could. Or
yeah,
like, I said,
yeah.
they were saying about we could talk to you all day. He's like, I could. It's like, but you're busy. So
right.
we're going to give you that out.
The other thing that clearly happens is every time he calls in, they have to tell him to turn down Fox and Friends, the TV he's watching.
Right, right.
Oh, like, yeah, someone on the radio?
Yeah. They're for sure. They're like, we're getting a little feedback. Like, they have
they're
to
like,
build
hey, Ma, turn your radio down a little bit. Okay, where are you calling from?
Yeah. And five, like, yeah. He's like, what? He has to get an aide to mute Fox and Friends. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's all just very interesting. And the other thing, too, is what's amazing is Michael Avenatti, I think, immediately entered this call into evidence.
So Michael Avenatti
is Stormy Daniels' lawyer.
Okay.
Who is the fucking, like, the lawyer who's been
the troll.
The real troll, amazingly. And also on Morning Joe, Michael Avenatti was on while this was happening, and they were, like, laughing about it. And he's like, okay, this is the weird thing he said. He kind of got a little messy. He was basically saying that it's possible that the $1.6 million payment that Elliot Broidy, who was the fundraiser that had to resign,
right,
who was also one of Michael Cohen's quote-unquote clients.
Right. There were three clients. There was Trump. There was
Elliot Broidy and then Sean Hannity.
Elliot Broidy was the only one that we had like very specific details, right, that he paid a Playmate $1.6 million to have an abortion.
So it was, yeah, a $1.6 million abortion payout.
Right.
And what Michael Avenatti says, he goes, Mika, you know, like, who are the three clients that, like, were Michael Cohen's that were named? And
so Stormy Daniels' lawyer is saying, is asking her
one of the hosts of Morning Joe.
Which is a thing he presumably knows.
Yeah, but, you know, he's trying to be a lawyer, you know what I mean?
Right,
he's
lawyerly.
He's a little Socratic and shit. So he's like, yo, so who are they? And she says, the president, Elliot Broidy, and Sean Hannity. He goes, no, see, you're making the same mistake everybody else is, because Elliot Broidy was never actually named in open court as a client of Michael Cohen's. Those three entities were Donald Trump, the Trump Enterprise, and Sean Hannity. So he was basically saying, we will find out soon if, in fact, this payment was made on behalf of Elliot Broidy, and then it was like, and I'm just leave it at that. So I don't know what he was trying to say, but he was basically hinting that maybe this payment had nothing to do with Elliot Broidy, and maybe Elliot Broidy was being the fall guy for someone else. So that was an interesting tidbit. Now, that's just speculation, but Michael Avenatti, you know, he likes to be messy, and that was clearly something he was trying to do to fuck around or rile some feathers or some shit.
Okay.
But, okay, like, in terms of embarrassment, it's like this, obviously, there's no bottom for, like, Trump's base.
No.
So, like,
no,
don't
just
you think
more
if
like
he paid somebody to have an abortion, that would alienate the, like, religious right?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Anymore.
There's nothing.
He would just be like, I've sinned. And they'd be like, yeah. He's
right. I mean, because it's like, those people should have been alienated if they were going to be alienated.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they've been on board for everything. So, yeah, like you said, I don't think there is a bomb. Then, not that this would be even more scandalous, but it's just an interesting tidbit of, like, how just tangled and fucking wacky this whole relationship between Trump and Cohen is, and who knows where it will lead.
All right. Let's move on to more messiness involving the Trump administration because his pick to lead the VA, a man with very little managerial experience, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, a.k.a. Ron Jaxie Babies, a.k.a. the funk doctor, Mr. Punk Rocker, got the drug stock up in the lunchbox.
Wow. We got Ari Melber over here?
Yeah. So complaint started out with, you know, he handed out a couple Ambien on overseas flights to, you know, the president's staff, Obama and Bush's staff, and maybe a couple Provigil to help pet people up a little bit once they landed somewhere. And, you know, maybe he got a little too drunk on a couple of those trips and couldn't be resuscitated when he was needed to, like, do his job. And so they had to take his credentials to another backup doctor. And, you know.
Wait, what do you mean he couldn't be resuscitated?
Or he couldn't be woken up.
Like, he was so
drunk?
He
was so drunk they couldn't wake him up.
That's dope.
That's so cool.
And then there's also the story where he almost woke President Obama up because he was drunkenly pounding on a female subordinate's door, trying to get her to let him in so he could presumably, like, sexually harass her before passing out on her floor. You know, that's not so bad. Happens to the best of us. And the press tried to get, like, backup on a couple of those things, and they were like, we're not getting anything from the, you know, Obama administration officials. They're all saying he's, like, the best guy. But it turns out, like, stuff kept coming out. Turns out he not only got drunk on the road, he got so drunk at a Secret Service retirement party that he crashed a government car. He was frequently known to, like, give and take prescription drugs, like, around just the office, including controlled substances like Percocet.
Wow.
Yeah. Ronnie Percocet.
Ooh, okay. Future Hendrix.
As they called him. But yeah, he was just like an all-around fuck-up, which makes me wonder, like, I think those Obama administration officials that they were like trying to get backup from were like, nah, man, he hooked it up.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and the other thing too,
like,
is most
you never
people,
rat on your drug dealer.
Most people were like, everyone was like, yo, it's very normal for them to hand you sleep aids and Provigil on these trips, because like when you're doing like diplomatic missions and shit, you're on a plane, you're in a completely different time zone, and then you got to be ready, active to do the thing. So most people were kind of like, yes, that's actually pretty normal.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
right?
If
it's a role that's needed in the government.
Yeah, he's writing like kind of on the fly prescriptions for people, like the same way like Provigil was invented to help fighter pilots, like
a lot of fire pilots
stay awake while they're like fucking flying around the world to go do missions. So it's not that big a deal if he's giving it to other people, but if he's prescribing himself Percocet, like
and then like popping pills in the office, and like also just the reports of like what it was like to work for him about like said, people use words like toxic, abusive, volatile, vindictive, like
toxic masculinity. Yep. He kissed up and kicked down, they said. Like, he was just a fucking awful, the shittiest guy you work with.
That's why this shit isn't as, like, crazy as the fact that this is, the White House can't pick people that are appropriate for these jobs.
Right. You could almost argue, okay, you almost need someone that's basically this guy to be, like, the dark part of keeping the government running.
Right.
Like, you have to give people speed, evidently, to run the government.
Oh,
so
for sure.
If that's a given, then that doctor is going to end up being like this. You just don't promote him.
Right. You just don't make him the head of the second largest. Like, how many people? I think it's 300,000 employees.
Yeah. And it's not just about medical killer either. It's like a financial body, too, like, of giving assistance to veterans. So he's just wholly unprepared and unqualified for this thing. And it's just, again, this method of hiring at the White House is like, yo, that dude's chill.
Right.
Which cabinet should he run? Like, or it's like, which department should he run?
Or it's like, we can control this guy because we've seen him do as much.
Yeah, like we were saying, other administrations would have vetted him, sniffed all this shit out like months in advance or weeks in advance. But instead of doing that, Trump's method was to just be like, yeah, he seems like a good guy, let's use him. And then when the media revealed all this shit, he was like, you know, if I were you, I'd drop out. Like, that was an actual headline.
It's like, bro, you
Trump.
You gassed me up to get out there. What the fuck? Right. Yeah, but now, man, I'm like, hey, I wouldn't.
But now.
It looks like a mistake, my man.
Right.
It's Trump, a no for me.
Trump is that asshole cousin who, like, runs up to the edge of the pool and then stops and then you jump in.
Wow.
Basically.
Doesn't it feel, though, that, like, I genuinely think there's not that much artifice with these people. They're like, they believe it. They're like, yeah, he's our boy.
Yeah.
He's our boy. We get to do what we want. And then they're like, oh, he's not our boy, I guess.
Right.
Hey, you should really drop out, my man.
Right, right.
Yeah. No, yeah. They just don't know that there's any such thing as a more functional administration. They just think that everybody is as big a fuck up as them. So.
That's... Right, and they also don't know any better doctors, to be fair.
Right.
He's the best.
I mean, Dr. Oz will probably be next.
I mean, come on. Anybody named Ronnie, Dr. Ronnie? I don't know.
Sounds like a porn star.
Dr. Yeah. Ronnie, the drug dealing doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like the cool doctor who gets you drugs. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. And for this third act, we wanted to bring in a couple of our fellow podcasters from our network. We have with us Shereen Yunus and super producer Anna Hosnier, who have a podcast on this very network called Ethnically Ambiguous, where they talk about Middle Eastern issues and history and generally what it's like to be a brown person in America. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Ladies. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I got in trouble for saying
fellas.
Yeah, sorry.
That's why I say y'all for everyone.
That's what I say. For, me too.
What up, welcome, y'all.
What's up, y'all?
Or yins. How yins doing?
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
How yins is doing?
Pittsburgh?
Yins?
I heard it from people from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah.
We digress.
You guys, this past week, had what I think is one of your finest episodes yet, talking about Syria and all the complexities surrounding the conflict there. Shereen, your family is from Syria.
Correct.
You knew that. Okay, I thought I was just breaking news there. I feel like you guys both gave people a great way into comprehending that conflict, because I think a lot of what you guys deal with like on your podcast is the fact that you live amongst Americans who are just like, the Middle East, yeah, I'm vaguely aware of that as a place where war is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so can you talk a little bit about like, is there any like one way that has been successful in like sort of getting people to understand and care about Syria?
Damn. thanks for having me, and thanks for that very heavy question. I mean, I think just being kind of the token Syrian in a lot of people's lives has made them at least be aware that Syria is like a place. And I mean, I went through a phase definitely where I was like spamming my social media being like, you have to care about this. This is happening in your world. And right. Blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't really do anything productive, I've learned. And just being a human being and being someone kind, and when someone hears the word Syrian or something, they could be like, oh, I know someone that's dope and they're from Syria and I should maybe pay attention to this or like something. I think that, I don't know. I feel like having the podcast has given me an outlet too,
yeah,
just to be like, if anyone wants to know how I feel, just listen to this episode.
Yeah, right. I don't feel like we can get you guys to condense what's so good about that episode down into like a
Thanks.
Single answer, but I just put you on the spot and asked you to do that.
No, I mean, I appreciate you thinking that was a good episode, because I usually hate everything I do, but I like that episode. So
yeah, no,
I'm glad you liked it too.
Oh, you got that imposter syndrome.
I got that like imposter and also self-deprecating trash syndrome.
I feel like the best, this is Anna.
Hey.
I feel like the best way to get people to pay attention about anything going on in the Middle East is to give them like an approachable, like modern millennial version of it. Because mm-hmm. if you just show someone a photo of a bunch of women in like hijab and or like burqas, they're like, I don't understand. And this to me reminds me of 9/11, and it just, nothing goes through their mind except for that.
Yeah.
So I think our approach is always to be like, guys, we're cool, we're chill, look at us, we're just like you, which is right. as dumb as it
you
sounds.
You mean
like,
humans?
Yeah, right. Like, that's just yeah. how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. And
you
I think
you really just got to show
just
them
skateboard
that.
Up.
Yeah.
And be
yeah.
like, hey,
yeah, flip millennials. Flip your hat around.
Kick flip,
exactly.
little half pipe, and
you
be
know,
like, we're here.
And break someone's fidget spinner and be like, yeah, we here. But yeah, that's
okay.
a whole other thing. We'll get into that.
Okay,
another segment
okay.
called Fidget Spinner Justice. But I think it's true. You know, like, I can totally see how for people not knowing anyone from Syria or Iran or whatever, it's abstract when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easy to just, you know, have a pattern of thought as to what a person is like or what an American who is Iranian American or Syrian American,
yeah.
what that's like. And I think, yeah, it's not even that you by design are like, oh, man, like, let's be super millennials. But you're just being authentically like, hi, I'm also in this country.
Yeah.
And I just came from this other place.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's
yeah.
it. Get rid of all other preconceived ideas you had about people from my country, because I'm also just like you.
Yeah.
yeah.
Except I have a little bit more to deal with right now emotionally than most people do.
Yeah, like I vape as well.
Yeah.
And am vaping
We're
right
just
now.
Like
yeah.
you. Is
You're
that relatable?
Totally.
Middle Easterners, they're just like
yeah.
us. They're just
yeah.
like us.
And Shireen, you're a sick rollerblader. So,
am I?
You know, yeah. I saw you do a soul grind on your way in here.
Oh,
dope.
Yeah.
No, but...
Check my Instagram story. Yeah, it's on there.
My favorite kind of improv is, oh, yeah. okay.
Got
okay,
the scene
I guess
moving
we
along.
Are.
Yeah.
So you guys are both, or you guys both have families from countries that are listed in the president's ban. Anna, you were actually flying to Iran a week after the travel ban was announced, but the Supreme Court just heard arguments on that travel ban yesterday. Do you guys have any sort of thoughts on, are you a fan of the travel ban?
Oh,
or,
yeah. So
yeah.
I'm a huge fan. so excited about it.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
I always say you haven't lived until you've been banned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not a fan. I think it's stupid. It's totally a Muslim ban. They just can't admit
yeah.
it. Like, remember how like Trump went through and was like, here's all my rhetoric, anti-Muslim, hate them.
Right.
They don't
right.
like us. And then what's
but
his
Christians
name?
Can come over here if you're a
Christian.
Yeah.
Christians are just good old, you know.
That's what he said.
God
he did specifically say that, yeah.
yeah.
I do think no one is very informed about what Islam is, because what didn't one of his lawyers call it like the greatest country or something like that, which is just like
the yeah inspector
okay.
general talking to the Supreme Court as he was closing his argument, and he's like, you know, the president, yeah, he thinks Muslims are they're great Americans and are good people, and he's continuously said Islam is one of the greatest countries in the world.
Well,
right.
agree.
Now, we can
that
give him the benefit
like
of the
shade. Like, guess what he says?
Right, right.
Guess what he thinks? He's so dumb.
He's like, no, I can't be. Well, Islam isn't on the travel ban list because that's the greatest country. So how can be a Muslim ban? But I think, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, he was maybe just sort of mentally exhausted as he said it. But part of me is also like, if you're arguing in front of the Supreme Court and you can't even like even go back and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean country, I mean religion.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't have the respect to take a fucking pro-vigil before you step in front of the Supreme
right,
Court.
Exactly.
Wake up.
Yeah,
they're called amphetamines, my
and
man.
Also,
give
even
him a shot.
Even if he said that statement right, we're to believe that Donald Trump said that Islam is one of the greatest religions in the world?
Right.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't even...
On the campaign trail, he says Islam hates us.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, Islam don't give a fuck about
his whole about campaign
you.
Was about fear, and he chose Muslims to be the people to be afraid
right.
of. And
right.
me and Anna both know this, but like immigrating to the United States from the Middle East, especially Syria, has always been really hard. And I have uncles that have waited 10 years just to, like in the regular visa program just to be able to come here. So the fact that there was a Muslim ban made it even harder for anyone to leave. I mean, there's the travel ban, I guess, but it's a Muslim ban.
Yeah.
But it's a little ridiculous because it's like we're just like stuck in this time warp where it's like there's always going to be one ethnicity or group of people
right.
that is the go-to scapegoat.
Like, right, yeah. right. Whether it's Latino immigrants or black
yeah.
people or Japanese immigrants or Irish immigrants, Italian immigrants. Like, yeah, there's always been the immigrant group du jour
mm-hmm.
that it's like, oh, let's point the finger and be scared of them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really frustrating. I feel like I have a lot of like actor friends and people in the entertainment industry, and they'll look at me and be like, whoa, yeah, like your type is really in right now because it's so like, it's so like, I don't know, controversial. So like,
right.
it's just like, you know what? Like, I would rather it not be because of that reason. Like, I'd rather people like think I'm interesting and not because like I... Because
you're ethnicity.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very much, I think, white entertainer mindset of
right.
like, oh my God, you can get any role right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
motherfucker.
You have no idea how hard it is, you guys.
yeah,
to
no.
have blonde hair and blue
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah.
That whole
yeah.
shit is like... take that somewhere else.
Also, that's a lie. That's just
right.
yeah, it's a
their agents
lie.
Told them because they didn't want to say they're not good enough.
Right.
It's like,
right.
actually, it's all about diversity right
yeah.
now. Like, guess
mm-hmm.
what? It's not.
If you were Asian, oh my God.
Literally,
you're there.
Look at TV and movies. It's
yeah.
not all about diversity.
Yeah.
there are like three shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Miles, you were talking about past types of discrimination. Like, one of the precedents, like one of the only sort of standing laws that they have that relates to the travel ban and like its standing in front of the Supreme Court is the Japanese internment.
Yeah.
And like the last time a president was like, yeah, no, let's get rid of all of these people. Yeah, and the Supreme Court found in favor of that, and that was seen as a huge...
A dark moment.
Yeah,
one
of the darkest
yeah.
moments in the history of the Supreme Court, and...
It's still not overturned, right?
Right, no,
no
it
it's still
been
not formally been overturned.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
yeah.
And people who are arguing in favor of the travel ban have used it as precedent, been like, well, as the Supreme Court said in this case.
Yeah, but also they were suppressing like evidence that showed Japanese people weren't actively plotting against the United States. Like that shit was all fucking, it was so much fuckery going on
yes.
with that.
Yeah.
And they've still, the government still distances themselves from that because again, it's the same pattern of saying, let's discriminate against this group with the guise of national security.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. someone has to be feared because there has to be a good guy and a bad guy. And we're always the good guys.
Yeah.
There's always someone out to get us.
Right. And I guess, I mean, like the couple differences that I mean, like just to point out is I obviously the Roosevelt thing was dealing with people that were living inside of the U.S.,
right.
Like including people who were actual citizens. So it's slightly different because Trump's executive order really applies to foreigners living abroad. So like the constitutionality of it is not necessarily one to one.
But I think it like seeps in because there's also like DACA and like all these things.
Oh yeah,
like,
not to say that
people getting deported.
Right, right.
I think it all kind of meshes together because that mentality of fear seeps into other parts of your life. And, like,
absolutely.
People that have lived here for their whole life are now seen as less American or something.
Yeah,
so,
no, I purely mean
yeah.
on the legal face
oh,
of it.
For sure,
like, yeah. Obviously, the sentiment is the exact same, which is just singling out a group for
mm-hmm.
people to just basically discriminate.
Right.
And now the group is the people from these majority Muslim nations.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that the people who support the ban are drawing the comparison proves that they are viewing it in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They're viewing it as a way to just blanket ban a whole type of people.
Well, and also, they're at, like, the perfect time, because it's, like, for racists, they were like, well, we really hope Korematsu doesn't get overturned.
Right.
Right, right.
Like, so let's fucking reinforce this shit.
But I don't
think
anyone has quite brought it up yet. I know that was a thing that many people were being like, is someone actually going to bring this up? Like, is one of the justices going to bring it up?
Yeah.
But I don't know if anyone has.
Here's, to me, the darkest possibility, which is, like, it does get brought up, and our conservative-ass Supreme Court's like,
they're like,
yeah,
well,
this is the law of the land. We can absolutely discriminate by race.
Then it's just proof we're living in the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The darkest
It's
timeline.
Just, like, I just think that's a possibility, right? Like, everyone sort of thinks the basic human decency of people like
right.
five Supreme Court justices is,
it's
like,
going to be whether or not they want to bury their head in the sand and act like this isn't about people who are Muslim.
No.
Or just being like, on the face of it, they're saying it's just these countries. I don't see that it's, you know, motivated by any kind of
I just think, like,
religious irracial animus.
At every moment during this last 2 years, it's like the kind of, like, petty social things that we thought were holding the racists back from the worst of it have turned out to be remarkably flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at every chance, like, all the social mores that you're like, well, they wouldn't do this, and it's like, oh, they for sure will do this.
No, but their argument's also like, you're gonna ban these people from these countries to protect the country because they're gonna do something bad here or something, but when in reality the majority of terrorist acts or violence in this country are done by white men.
Yeah,
right.
And that's just that argument. I mean, people just forget about that because there's like, well, those people had mental problems.
Well, yeah. So, it's just a narrative, though, that it doesn't jibe with what a lot of these conservatives want to, or the narrative that they want to push, which is immigrants equal danger.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Shireen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Super producer Anna Hosni, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you guys?
We have a website, ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. You can look at our episodes over there and all our footnotes and everything. And just look us up on Instagram, ethnicallyamb, and then Twitter, ethnicallyamb, A-M-B, and we post some stuff over there, and you should follow us and keep up.
Yeah, and
you
subscribe to the show.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, we post a lot of news and stuff on our Twitter and all that.
And they'll occasionally take shots at me and my high-pitched laugh and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know it was your fidget spinner, too.
That's fine. You know, we don't have to bring that up, but you know, while we're here, I will be seeking restitution.
I'm still using it. It's still fine.
It still spins.
Thanks, Andrew.
It still spins.
It's not how it used to be.
It is. It's just
it'll
ironic.
Never be the same.
It's ironic that it's
an American flag one. Yeah.
No, I think
and it's funny because Her Majesty, my Queen, purchased that in Washington D.C. too.
Oh, really?
So womp womp.
Very American.
No, I like it. Also, though, it's broken in a specific way that you can see the inside of it. It's great.
And it's hollow. And
so
dark.
You're welcome.
I like how it works.
Oh my goodness,
Andrew,
I dropped it on the ground.
Where can people find you?
Hit me up. Listen to Yo, Is This Racist? On podcast apps. Stuff is changing in the next couple weeks. Get ready.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Y'all might even.
The Ambiguous was a guest on that podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a great, fun time.
It was super great. Actually, everyone in this room has been on the podcast.
Yes.
So
Jack and I have been on
those episodes. Yeah, it was fantastic having y'all.
Most of the Culture Kings on there too, right?
Yeah, all of them.
Wow.
I've had everyone I know here has been on,
just
has
spread
been on
love.
The show.
It's the podcast.
But we're making some changes. In fact, to everyone here, you guys might, if you want to hear a preview of the new theme song after we get off air.
Whoa.
Oh,
you can hear that
shit.
Yeah.
Okay, exclusive.
Yeah. Sweet. And hit me up on Twitter, Andrew T, last name is spelled T-I. It's all caps. I know it doesn't matter, but just do it with all caps.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on, which today, Miles, what is it?
Okay, I can't listen to hip-hop right now. I'm just trying to repair my brain cells. Last night, I'm not even joking, I listened to Scheherazade fucking, like, anyway, cut to today's song. Just a nice cover of a Arcade Fire song, The Suburbs, by a group, Mr. Little Jeans. I just like this cover. It's just soothing. It's a little more on the electric side. And it's just, let's just think of easier times right now. We have a lot to get through.
Yeah. But my favorite tweet today by @SceneBoyVarsi. Ja Rule tweeted this morning, "I'm one of the most influential rappers of all time." And SceneBoyVarsi tweeted, "Ja, we're dealing with a lot today. Not now, please." Yeah, please. Ja Rule, yeah. Come on, man. all right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Are you
in the suburbs, I learned to drive, and you told me we'll never survive. Grab your mother's keys, we're leaving. So sure that one day we'd be fighting in a suburban war. You're part of town against mine. I saw you standing on the opposite shore. But by the time the first bombs fell, we were already born. We were already, already born. Sometimes I so hard, but in my dreams we're still screaming and running through the yard. And all of the walls that they built in the 70s finally fall. And all of the houses they built in the 70s finally fall. Nothing at all, it meant nothing. Sometimes I can't believe. Sometimes I can't believe it. I'm moving past the feeling into the night. But if it's too much to ask, if it's too much to ask.